From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for June 22nd. Hi, it's Iris. June 22nd. Pen and Health, the one that made me reread the abstract, is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from Technosapiens. Are we in the middle of a tech panic? Welcome to Technosapiens. I'm Jacqueline Nessie, a psychologist, professor, and mom of three whose latest tech panic involves sending an email on 2% laptop battery. Phew, what a rush. Let's play a quick game. I'm going to describe a technology, and you tell me what it is. Kids are spending hours on this technology every day. A study of hundreds of 6 to 16-year-olds in the Journal of Pediatrics finds that many are addicted to it. There are also concerns about how this technology may interfere with social connection and the development of empathy, and may increase exposure to violence and sexual content. Some evidence links it to anxiety and other mental health problems, yet parents feel powerless to stop it. Got your answer? That's correct. It is the household radio. Exactly what you guessed right. In the 1920s and 1930s, ownership of personal radios saw exponential growth. By the late 1930s, kids in New York, for example, were spending between 1 and 3 hours per day listening to them. That article in the Journal of Pediatrics, it was published in 1941. Even more interesting, a near-identical description of the technology and society's concerns about it could be applied to just about any new media you can imagine. Social media, of course, but also via internet, video games, television, and comic books. Even novels were blamed for reading addiction in the 18th century, and the act of writing itself was a source of concern in ancient Greece. So, what's going on here? These examples come from an article by University of Cambridge psychologist Amy Orban. It was first published in 2020, but I think it's worth revisiting today. The name of the article? The Sisyphean Cycle of Technology Panics. It is not as far as I know. Those familiar with Greek mythology may remember the story of Sisyphus, who was condemned by Hades for all eternity to roll a heavy boulder up a hill. Each time Sisyphus got close to the top of the hill, the boulder would roll back down, and he'd be forced to start over again. Kind of a bummer. So what does that have to do with technology? Orban argues that technology panics periods of intense societal concern about a new technology operate according to a similarly problematic cycle. Each new technological advance raises remarkably similar worries and questions, which are then fed by public conversation, scientists, and policymakers, until a new technology comes around and the whole cycle starts again. The cycle Orban describes proceeds in 4 steps. After the introduction and fast adoption of a new technology, the following steps take place. Society becomes highly concerned about the effects of a given technology, especially on kids. Concerns fall into familiar categories: loss of social connection, addiction, mania, or overuse, exposure to violence, exposure to sex, loss of empathy. Politicians take on the cause of fighting the new technology, in many cases boosting their public image, but also potentially deflecting from four near issues, for example, structural inequity, educational quality. Some of this can be attributed to moral panic, the perception that a person or thing is challenging societal norms and values. 3. Though often technological panics are broader than that. As part of this, the work of finding solutions to the negative effects of the technology is outsourced to scientists. Scientists take up the challenge, and research follows a similar trajectory for each new technology. The research starts from scratch to investigate many of the same questions, beginning with broad, causal questions: do smartphones cause depression? And moving toward more specific: do certain uses of smartphones, among certain groups of children, cause depression? Ultimately, scientists do not reach consensus, in part due to a lack of shared underlying theory. How does the panic end, if research never comes to a consensus and political debate continues? The answer: a new technology, it emerges, and we all move on. When it comes to social media, I believe we're approaching step 4. We have yet to come to a societal and academic consensus, and yet it's only a matter of time before we move on. Why? Because AI is here, and it is the latest target of our concern. When people learn of this cycle of technology panics, they tend to fall into 2 camps. On the one side, we have people who see the cycle as evidence that we're all just overreacting. The technology in question is fine, there's nothing to worry about, and can you believe we were so worried about the radio? We turned out great. On the other side, we have people who argue that this time really is different. We are seeing real problems related to the technology, and there are more coming in the future. This technology is unlike anything we've seen before, and we cannot dismiss the challenges it will bring. In my career thus far, I've spent time operating somewhere between both camps, as I'd imagine many of us have. Next, second, from Motherhood Musings, a sneak peek of our new book, At Home in Every Season. I'm thrilled to tell you that the second book, At Home in Every Season, is now open for pre-order and should land on your doorstep in early September. The cover illustrations by Meredith Walker, photography by Amelia Rush, Forth, and a crisp Hobart autumn walk with Cyan Kelly's family looks absolutely lovely. The author spent a full year watching the seasons shift, noting how each change nudged their family's rhythms and rituals. From that slow, intentional observation, they gathered ideas for simple crafts, recipes, and activities that feel natural to each time of year. Inside, you'll find dozens of easy to try rituals, picture book suggestions, and even a section on birthday traditions, all meant to help families connect with nature and each other. If you pre-order now, you'll be among the first to receive it, and those early numbers help independent bookstores decide whether to stock it. Thanks for the support. Can't wait for you to flip through it. Up next, third, from Ebonova, a catch-and-release aquarium, a beach towel with built-in games, and the chore worksheet working magic on my 8-year-old. I just spent a night catching up with an old friend who was passing through on her way to New Hampshire, and it felt like a little slice of those endless summer evenings from my childhood. We talked until 2 a.m. wrapped in blankets, and the conversation reminded me how grounding a steady, attentive friendship can be. Afterward, we drove out at night to pick up Alex, and the sky was so clear the constellations seemed within reach. That same vibe carried us to a nearby lake where we dug for snail shells and imagined a future beach day, so I spotted a pricey towel that doubles as a board game, though I'm still unsure if the squares will work for us. I also refreshed a few staples, my favorite green pens, a neon-covered notebook, and the catch-and-release aquarium that kids love to explore. A sun-protective hat with a practical tie finally caught my eye, and I restocked my Go Ulta MD sunscreen because it's non-sticky and feels surprisingly put together. Lastly, a simple chore work sheet I printed for my eight-year-old turned into a surprisingly effective routine. I slipped it into a clear holder, added a dry erase marker, and he's been doing his chores without fuss. If you need a free template, it's available from Days with Gray and can be tweaked in Canva. And then, fourth, from the School for Housewives. Every day requires something of your child. The School for Housewives brings you short, practical, and thoughtful messages to inspire you to shake off feminism and make your home. This is an eye-free zone. If you're new here, go to the homepage for the previous lessons. The categories are arranged in a menu bar at the top. Discipline is not primarily a matter of correcting your child, though firm correction has to happen more or less according to the child. Most discipline is building trust between you and your child with the aim of helping him get self-control eventually. Next, fifth, from Scary Mommy, the best early Prime Day deals 2026. Amazon's Prime Day sale officially kicks off on June 23, but there are already plenty of impressive deals to shop. Ahead, you'll find a guide to some of the deepest discounts and hottest products on sale, as well as plenty of daily essentials worth stocking up on while they're marked down. Ahead, the best early Prime Day deals to snag now. Available in over 45 different colors, this plush microfiber bath mat has a nearly 1-inch pile that feels insanely soft underfoot. Up next, sixth, from Scary Mommy, I think my husband is cheating. Now what? Welcome to Ask Him the World AFYS. That's Mother Who Likes to F asterisk CK, a monthly anonymous advice column from Scary Mommy. Here we'll dissect all your burning questions about motherhood, sex, romance, intimacy, and friendship with the help of our columnist, Penelope, a writer and mental health practitioner in training. She'll dish out her most sound advice for parents on the delicate dance of raising kids without sacrificing other important relationships. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow.